Good morning. It's so good to have the opportunity to be here this morning and be together. My name is Lydia, and I'm currently studying at the Crane School of Music. I plan on graduating in May. I play flute. And I have one more quick announcement. On Sunday, April 28th at 2:30 p.m., I'll be performing my last recital at Crane, and that will be in Snell Theater. After graduation, I plan on volunteering with InterVarsity here in Potsdam. I'm still currently looking for housing and work. And I grew up in the Rochester area, and I really enjoy spending time with family. And I think a picture is going to pop up here of my family, my parents and my brother. Over here. There they are. So there's my mom. My brother's a college student at Paul Smith's, and my dad. We enjoy a lot of outdoor activities. And there's also one more very fluffy member of the family. And this is my dog, Yoda. And we bring him camping. And if you see on the right, there's an Adirondack map that's on the ground. And he'll just come over and sit on the map whenever we plan a trip or something. And he'll hop in the canoe. And he likes to be our exploring buddy. I don't know if you caught another theme. My brother and I share a name that starts with the same letter. I'm Lydia, my brother Luke. And my parents are also Star Wars fans, and so hence the dog's name, Yoda. And we go camping. We met a family camping, and they liked Yoda so much that they adopted a dog of the same kind of dog, and they named him Chewbacca. So that's just a little fluffy dog, cute story. And so I've been really grateful for my family, and I've also been really grateful to be a part of the New Hope community throughout college. It's been a really big blessing, so thank you so much. And after I started college, someone from another, from back home shared that they had a family dinner routine, and they would get together and share their answer to a question that has become very special to them around their dinner table. And that question was, how has God loved you in the past 24 hours? It was a way for them to grow together and remember each day one moment in which they had experienced the presence of God. I had never considered how God showed his love for me before, and I asked myself, what are some ways I've seen God love me today? The more I remembered where I had experienced God and his love for me throughout my day, the more my perspective changed. As I started to reflect on how God had been at work up to this point in my life, I became more aware of his presence with me moment by moment. So often, it's really easy for me to forget where God's been at work in my life, and even though sometimes I forget, I can still ask God to help me remember. As I continue to learn and remember what God has done, I've also been able to use the practice of remembering God as a way to grow and become more aware of his current presence. Some of us might know just what it's like to experience and be aware of God's presence moment by moment, and some of us, however, might really struggle with this. And you might be here this morning and not even know it's possible to experience God's presence. I hope that we can all learn how to experience this as we look at the passage this morning, which is Exodus 3, 1 through 15. And we're going to take a look at the historical context before reading that this morning. So before Exodus 3 comes into play, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for around 400 years. Because the number of the Israelites had grown in size and population, Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, had made a law that all the baby boys were to be killed. Not surprisingly, some didn't follow Pharaoh's orders, and why would they? So he ordered that every newborn Hebrew boy be thrown into the Nile River. It was in this context that Moses was born into his Hebrew family. In defiance of Pharaoh's law, Moses' mother put him in the Nile River, but in a floating basket, hoping he would be saved. When Pharaoh's daughter found him, she had compassion for him. Moses then had the opportunity to live the first few years of his life with his birth family before his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter for her to adopt as her own. From then on, Moses was thoroughly trained in the royal courts and educated in the highest wisdom Egypt had to offer. And yet, even though he was educated by the Egyptians, Moses never forgot where he came from and never stopped caring about his people, the Hebrews. When Moses was 40 years old, he went out to where the Hebrew slaves were working. He saw an Egyptian beating one of his Hebrew brothers. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian. He hid the body in the sand. Fearing for his life, Moses ended up running for his life. And while on the run, he entered the land of Midian and started a new life. He got married, had a son, and worked for his father-in-law, who was the priest of Midian, by taking care of his flock. He stayed there for another 40 years. So at the start of Exodus chapter 3, Moses is 40 years old. Or 80 years old. My apologies. So now we'll go to the text. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't this bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them." And at this time, I'm just going to take a moment to pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for your word. And I just pray that everyone here would just have the opportunity to experience you and would experience you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this passage, we read an account of Moses experiencing God performing a miracle. It's incredible, and it's something Moses is going to remember. It's a moment that will stay with Moses for the rest of his life. When we experience a miracle, it's a wonderful opportunity to experience God sometimes in a new way we haven't before. Yet we don't usually see them happen every day. When we see Moses spend 40 years in the desert, the wilderness of Midian, caring for a bunch of sheep that weren't even his, before the burning bush, we can think, how was Moses experiencing the presence of God throughout every day of his life before the experience of the burning bush? Let's think about Moses' heart, like a garden and God as the gardener. When we decide to plant a garden, we often think of obtaining seeds, planting them in the soil, and ensuring that they receive adequate water and sunlight. However, God is the God of all creation, and he wants a relationship with Moses. God doesn't care only about Moses being fruitful, doing miracles with Moses, and setting the Israelites free. God doesn't only care about the seeds and how he will work through Moses later. God also cares about the first 80 years of Moses' life. Before God gives Moses new seeds, tasks, or the opportunity to experience the presence of God through an encounter with him at the burning bush, he first cares about the soil of Moses' heart. A lot happened in those first 40 years of Moses' life. He goes from living with his birth family to being adopted and living in a completely different context. He sees and deeply cares about the Hebrews as they're being oppressed by the Egyptians. On top of that, before Moses leaves Egypt, he commits murder and ends up living on the run. At this point, the soil of Moses' heart is depleted and far from optimal health and needs God's care. God caring for Moses allows him to end up in the wilderness of Midian for the next 40 years of his life. As a shepherd in the wilderness, Moses has a lot of time to spend outside in God's creation. And it's here, going through the process, that God will prepare Moses for what God has planned next. So I think about Moses' heart being like a garden and God preparing Moses' heart like a gardener. In Psalm 51:17, King David wrote, "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." If we could see the soil of Moses' heart when he first entered the wilderness, because he was there a long time before the burning bush, I think that we would find some excellent soil. God has already been at work in Moses for a very long time, and Moses was spared from Pharaoh's order to kill the Hebrew children. He was allowed to grow up with both the Hebrew and the Egyptian people, and he received a phenomenal education. If we continue digging through the soil of Moses' heart, I think we might find some pieces of broken glass. Kind of like this. Have you ever walked outside and accidentally stepped on a piece of broken glass? You may have found some in your yard or in your garden. Either way, it's not a pleasant experience. Shattered glass is usually sharp and can have potentially harmful edges. In the North Country where we live, there's a lot of dirt and beautiful spaces for gardens and farmland. Every year, there comes a time to prepare the soil before planting new seeds. Each spring, new rocks, glass, and other materials rise to the soil's surface that must be clear to ensure that the new seeds can grow. Moses is starting a process of becoming whole with God. God is not so cruel as to reveal the brokenness of Moses' life all at once. Just like clearing a garden, year after year, these broken pieces are going to rise to the surface in Moses' heart. This is a journey of healing from the broken pieces in the soil of his heart and making space for him to remember faithful goodness and God's faithful goodness throughout his life. As God reveals these broken pieces, Moses will have the opportunity to entrust them in these broken fragments to God, not to ignore them or throw them out, but to entrust them. It's as if God is saying to Moses, "I see all the parts of your life. Will you let me turn these broken pieces into something beautiful?" Like sea glass. Moses is entrusting these pieces and remembering how he has experienced God throughout his life. They are working together to prepare the soil of Moses' heart for new seeds. They're getting the soil ready to experience God in a new way. God has been preparing this soil, and now Moses is ready to receive the seed of new opportunity. This doesn't mean that Moses is perfect, done growing, or has even finished entrusting these broken pieces of his life to the Lord. It's a process of growth throughout a lifetime. Like every spring, we prepare the soil in our gardens to plant new seeds. At this point, the soil of Moses' heart is ready for this new seed of opportunity. God and Moses will continue to spend together daily, refreshing and renewing Moses' heart. Just like Moses, we are invited to the process of growing in, experiencing, and remembering the presence of God throughout our lives. So if we think back to Exodus 3:1, it says, "One day, Moses was tending the flock. It was just like any other day when Moses, at 80 years old, got to experience God's presence in a new way. After the first 40 years' life, if we have learned anything about Moses, we have learned that he was a very broken man. It becomes clear that God isn't going to leave him that way. For the first 80 years of his life, God was cultivating the soil of his heart. Now Moses is ready to receive a seed of opportunity to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses sees a burning bush and responds in verse 3. "This is amazing. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." And when the Lord called out to Moses, he responded, "Here I am." God goes on to clarify that he has seen the oppression of his people in Egypt, and he's sending Moses to lead them out. Starting in Exodus 3:10. "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations.'" The seed of opportunity to lead the Israelites out of Egypt is going to take a lot of work. God made a dramatic entrance by speaking to Moses through a burning bush so that Moses would remember this moment. Moses would remember his consistent experience of God throughout the first 80 years of his life. God didn't just want to use the burning bush moment. He wanted to use all of Moses' past experiences. God has been using all of his past to shape Moses into who he is in this moment and who he is going to continue to become throughout his life. Moses is going to remember how he experienced God in the burning bush. How often will Moses pass a bush as he journeys out to what God has called him to that will remind him of the presence of God at the burning bush to keep going? Every day, Moses has the opportunity to remember God and experience his presence with him moment by moment. God sees Moses is ready to entrust him with this new seed of opportunity to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses doesn't yet. This is mainly because Moses still sees himself as the man he was, not the man God had made him into or the man he was continuing to become. When God asked Moses to go to Pharaoh and lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses asked, "Who am I to do this seemingly impossible task?" However, God didn't respond by answering Moses' question. Instead, God reassured Moses that he would be with him and told Moses who he was. God was reminding Moses of his presence. I remember when the person who asked me or told me the story of her family sitting at the dining room table and asking, "How has God loved you in the past 24 hours? Little did she know that she was asking me that question a little after I had just gotten home from a music engagement where I had traveled away. And as I was traveling to this place where I was going to be doing some professional music engagements, I didn't know that God was about to ask me to do some things that were really hard. And God was with me, and he kind of told me as I was traveling that maybe these things were going to happen. And while I was there, those things that I had felt God had placed on my heart and had reminded me that he would be with me, those things happened, and there was a lot of beauty in the details in those situations as we journeyed together while I was doing those music activities. And there was also some pieces that felt a little broken and unresolved. And when she asked me that question, it was a way for me to remember all of the beautiful moments in that story. And it also reminded me of how to praise God through the low moments and the high moments of life. Later on, the same person taught me the practice of entrusting broken fragments to God and waiting for him to return them as sea glass. A year later, I was traveling again, and someone that had been in a small group had emailed me and said, "Hey, I hope you're able to see how God's at work around you during this time and just see the beauty." I didn't know at the time how transformational that email was going to be or be something that I would later remember. That second trip was almost a year later. And on my way home, I was taking a flight home, and my flight got canceled. And when the flight was canceled, I didn't really have a place to go, and I ended up sleeping at the airport at a Shake Shack restaurant. And that was really cool, because if God hadn't canceled that flight and rescheduled it to the flight that would have been the next day, I wouldn't have been taking a flight home exactly a year later from my previous trip. After spending a year of seeing God's beauty in the story I had experienced and entrusting fragments, there was a girl next to me on the plane. No one knew that I had entrusted these fragments, and I had prayed, "God, I don't know maybe when these broken fragments are going to look like sea glass again, but I'm trusting that you'll tell me when they do." As I sat on the plane going home, the girl next to me had fallen asleep, and when she woke up, we had a nice conversation. She then went to pick up out of her backpack a jar containing sea glass. And she looked at me and said, "You don't have to worry anymore. It's sea glass now." Thank you, Jesus. So that was a moment for me to remember, and also remember how over a long process of time, God had made that sea glass. Maybe becoming aware of God's presence or remembering where or how you've experienced God throughout your life is something you're familiar with or not as familiar with, and it's something I'm continuing to grow in. Maybe you remember a time when you didn't see a way through and God made a way, when you were confused and God provided wisdom, or when you saw God's hand at work in the world around you. Like Moses, we may struggle with what is put in front of us. We might question who we are, and while we might not see a burning bush or hear the audible voice of God, we can choose to remember who God is. Remember how we've experienced his presence in times past, and learn to remember that we can trust him with new seeds of opportunity that he may want to plant. As we allow him to continue to cultivate the soil of our hearts, we can continue to remember and trust the work he's doing in the moment as well. And as the worship team comes up, now would be a good time for us to reflect on the question, how has God loved you in the past 24 hours?